Cactus Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
Older and wiser with age-friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyisland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Wednesday afternoon show. I'm Laura. I have baby Archie on my lap. He will be oohing and aahing along with us. And today on our older and wiser segment, we have Reniera. Now, Reniera, tell us, where are you from and what are we going to talk about today?
Thank you, Laura. I'm Reniera. I'm the Assistant Director of Regeneration. I work for the council. And we're going to talk a little bit about what regeneration means for the Isle of Wight today.
Okay, so let's crack on, because this is a fascinating topic. Really interesting. You know, you're looking at how do we improve our present, let's say, in Ryde, the Esplanade. You're also looking at Newport, the harbour. So let's start at the basics. What does regeneration mean for us on this island as islanders?
I think it means a lot of different things to different people. I think a lot of people are pretty terrified by the concept and think that it means lots of new development in the wrong places and just selling off land and assets to developers. And it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that we have an opportunity to make better use of some of the land and some of the buildings that we have. Yeah. And we have a chance to harness some private sector investment, to put it in the right place, to improve the life chances of everybody, really, in a range of different ways.
That's fantastic. So it's a really, really positive project that you're leading.
Absolutely. Well, I think so. I'm incredibly excited about it. I mean, how often do you get to lead and work on shaping and reshaping and helping improve the place that you have chosen to make your home?
Yes. And it's a spectacular place, isn't it? When you take a step back from the island and you look at it, you know, and you speak to people from the mainland, and they say, we used to come across on holidays when I was little. You know, everyone's come to the island on holiday and everyone has such beautiful, fond memories of it. But that's also the thing. We're very seasonal here. And so for our community who are here throughout the year, we need opportunities for the youngsters and for people that could be isolated, that need to get out. So yeah, you're looking across society.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we are, particularly for our young people, I think we've heard an awful lot about how young people feel that they need to get off the island, or that their life chances on the island aren't as good as if they would be on the mainland. And we really, really need to change that. So actually, the programme is looking at a range of different things. So one, looking at higher education. So what might that mean for the island? How do we harness what we have? How do we potentially attract more? Yeah. We're looking at, and then at the other end of the spectrum for our older residents, looking at how do we make their life experiences on the island better. So how do we improve the type of accommodation available for those in later life? And I think we'll talk a little bit later about kind of island independent living. Yeah. But we're also looking at how we can get those who are in the economic working bracket, improve their business opportunities, improve business growth opportunities, and create the spaces in which businesses may want to relocate. So perhaps people who do come on holiday now might suddenly go, actually, I could move my entire business there. I could create job opportunities on the island whilst experiencing that fantastic lifestyle all year round.
Exactly. Oh, phenomenal. And there's a drop-in session tonight in Ryde, isn't there? So it's from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Castle Suite, Ryde Castle, Ryde. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, if you're going to come tonight, it's open to the whole community.
Absolutely. It's this is a part of a series of events that we're holding. So we launched our draft regeneration strategy probably 6 weeks ago. And we've been talking to a range of people about what that might mean. And we're going around the island in various areas. And tonight's Ryde's opportunity. So if you are around between 4 and 9 p.m., do come down to the castle. We've got big maps of the Esplanade. You can come and draw what you want. You can add things on. You can tell us where we're getting things wrong. You can tell us what you think would be the right things for Ryde in general and for the island as a whole.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going to go to a little bit of Simon and Garfunkel next with Homeward Bound, one of my favourite songs. And then we will be back and we'll be talking about Newport Harbour, regeneration of that. Raniero, it's such an interesting topic, such a positive movement for our community. Really, really interesting. Thank you. Oh, that- That was Novocaine for the Soul by the Eels. This is the Wednesday afternoon show. You're listening to Vectis Radio, 104.6 FM. I'm Laura with Baby Archie, and I'm joined by the lovely Raniera, and she is talking to us today about regeneration and then also a little bit of independent living. So we were talking about rides regeneration, and there is actually an open drop-in session tonight from 4 until 9 p.m. at the castle, the Ride Castle in Ride. So if you're a member of the community, get yourself down there and have a chat with them. It's an open forum discussion. You know, give them your positives. What would you like to see happen to Ride? What are the negatives? What don't you want? You know, we were just saying now in the break, there are so many beautiful houses in Ride, and it just needs a little bit of an injection. We need the economy a little bit more booming so that we can make Ride as resplendent as it was back in the Victorian ages.
Absolutely. And I think so much about what we're trying to do with regeneration is create the environments in which businesses can grow, job opportunities for young people can be created, and actually jobs and companies may want to move to the island and locate here and help with that. Ride, we talk a lot about the Esplanade there because it's the bit that everybody loves and sees and uses, but actually we're also looking at extending the Nicholson Road site, so where the post office is up at the back of Ride. We are looking at how we can extend that business park and really create some fantastic employment space up there so that companies can grow and expand and create job opportunities in the location.
Fantastic. Now let's talk about the Newport Harbour and the Newport regeneration plans. So it's your flagship regeneration scheme, and it's to create a new and vibrant extension to the county town. Tell us a little bit about your plans for this then.
Okay, so I think over the last however many years, there have been countless ideas around what we can do with Newport Harbour. The council owns quite a lot of the land, particularly on the East Bank. And at the moment, it's concrete, it's car parks, it's used as boat parking. It's a working harbour, which is amazing, but it could be so much more. And I think what we've done some early stage work where we've looked at some design ideas and the kinds of uses that it might have, which would include potentially some really great waterside residential living, some new leisure facilities. I have a personal vision of having a nice glass of white wine after work on the harbour, watching the sun go down over the masts of the boats that have sailed up the Medina River. And where we are going now is we are going to get a professional architectural team in to start to really coordinate what that might look like and to develop a master plan. Yeah. They should be on site from the 1st of October, and we hope that loads of people, not only from Newport, not only the businesses affected by the plans, of which Vectis Radio is obviously going to be one of them, but from people all over the island will get involved, because we'd really like to re-establish Newport as an amazing county town, and we see this as one part of how we are going to do that.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. It is such a beautiful vista out there, isn't it? You know, you can look at the river at high tide or low tide, and it's a changing landscape. You've got all the wildlife. What are your plans for the environment? So obviously, you know, you don't want to bowl it all over and build all over it. Tell us about the environmental side of it all.
I think this is something that worries quite a lot of people on the island when they talk about regeneration. And certainly in Newport Harbour, we have got some really serious environmental designations here of the highest kind. So there are some really big protections that go on to the mudflats, the River Medina, some of the wildlife. We've got the Arboretum. We've got some great open spaces. And our approach is very much around enhancing the access to these and the protections that they have. It's not about doing away with them in any way, shape or form. Yeah. So there's nothing in our plans that say that we should change any of this. It's about how do we showcase them more? How do we put them on display so that visitors who come to the harbour can come down and can get on the Red Squirrel Trail, they can have a look at the birds, they can engage with all the beautiful trees in the Arboretum in a much more meaningful way than they currently do.
Fantastic. And, you know, you've got such vibrant history for the boat builders, the local heritage. You know, you plan to kind of really showcase that, don't you?
I think so. I think we would really love to see a blend of old and new. Yeah. So we don't want to lose everything, but we also want to introduce some new uses to the harbour. As you may or may not know, we now have a food market every Friday that's been re-established.
Yes.
And that's kind of the first a stab at getting people to think differently about what a working harbour can be used for, how it can be used during the day for different things, yeah. and to get the community out, listening to music, sharing food, talking to each other, and engaging with the landscape in a different way.
Yeah, and as you've said, it's a really, really wonderful space. And at the minute, it's quite industrial. So to see that, you know, come into its own. You know, I've been to Birmingham. I've been to Birmingham before and after. Oh, so Archie's just having a little bit of a shout there. Yep. To Birmingham.
Yeah.
And the town centre. And there are areas which have been regenerated from pure industrialism to now they're vibrant. They're bringing jobs in. They're a hub. So you go there to have a drink and go for a meal. And the whole thing, the community is so much more vibrant for it.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we would like to be able to see. You know, I'd love to be able to say in sort of 5 to 10 years time that it isn't a car park down on the quay, yeah. but it is somewhere that people go to meet, to drink, to eat, to congregate, to learn, to see the heritage. You know, there may be a museum, there may be some form of campus down here. Yeah. And certainly where more people live. I mean, one of the things that we know we struggle with is footfall in our town centres and how that impacts then on retail and empty shops and things like that. So yeah. actually bringing more people to live in the town centre is another way that we see keeping our town centres vibrant and keeping all our shops open mm-hmm. and the restaurants there open, which is something that I know on the island we struggle with.
Yeah, and it's so important. You know, with our Age UK slot, the Older and Wiser slot, we talk a lot about social isolation. And something like this, you know, as you said, on a Friday, you've got the market, which is just a really wonderful way of just getting out the house. Go and have a potter down by the water. That in itself is a lovely thing to do. And all the stalls, all the food available. Yeah, it's getting into the community, isn't it? Opening the community up.
Oh, absolutely. It is. It really is about how do we make more open use of the space? How do we bring people together in a new and different way? And that's not just down in the harbour, but that's how do we then link the harbour back to the town? How do we use the beautiful Quay Street, for example, as a really great gateway between the harbour and the town centre? And how do we engage with shop owners and landowners in the town centre to get those shops back into use and get the right kinds of uses in there so that the town centre becomes a more vibrant place to be.
Yeah, and if you look at Newport, the buildings, much like Ryde, they are beautiful, aren't they? You look above the shop fronts and you can see all the beautiful portico work, the plaster work. It's a really exceptional set of buildings we have on the island, and we just need to pump a little bit more cash into it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is where the regeneration programme could really help, because I think everybody agrees that everything needs an injection of cash, and there is no magic money tree out there.
Yeah.
So actually we need to look at ways of bringing in investment to be able to help to deliver that. And that's really where we come in. So how do we understand what the community wants and needs? And we've done a lot of work to understand that, particularly in Newport. Actually, we've done an awful lot of work through the Shaping Newport project.
Yeah.
And so we know what the priorities are and we know what projects need to be undertaken. And it's really our job now to look at how we might leverage in some private investment or investment in other ways to be able to enable that to happen.
Wonderful. And so you've mentioned potentially a higher education campus. Can you tell us anything about those plans, or, you know, anything in the pipeline?
So this is one of the things that I find so exciting about this. I have three young children, and actually to be able to give them some further educational options on the island so that they don't feel like they would have to leave is really kind of important to me. And We hear a lot from our local companies that they need a different set of skills and expertise than what's currently being provided for. And young people feel that if they want to access those skills, they need to leave the island. So there's lots of great higher education already. There's Platform One, there's CCAM, the HTP College, our own college just up the road. Mm-hmm. And they all do some great things. And really, this is about how do we consolidate that? How do we put an arm around that and create a higher education identity that's easier for young people and older people to access? Because we mustn't forget the importance of retraining and actually kind of learning in the third age as well.
Yeah.
And using that as a catalyst to try and attract other HE providers, and potentially using Newport somewhere, either in the harbour or the town centre, as a bit of a campus and a hive, so that young people can live together, learn together, and feel a bit like they're at university somewhere else.
University towns, they are, you know, they're so vibrant and they're so buzzing. And that's what we just need to inject a little bit more into. I mean, our island is so fantastic, and it's just about how do we look after it. So, as you've said, environmentally, we have to be very aware that we're not just developing over, you know, AONB, not that we would.
Nope.
And with very careful development. You've also got, in addition to the rides drop-in session tonight, you've got workshops, haven't you?
We do.
How can we find out about the workshops for the rest of the island?
So there's a workshop in each of the areas of the island. So there's ride tonight, and then we will have East Medina, West Medina, the Bay, and West White, as we sort of work on five areas across the island. And then we've got one for Newport, because we recognise that Newport has its own sort of set of issues as a county town and really needs to be looked at individually. And the details of all of those are on our website, which you can find at www.iwhite.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's go to a little bit of Roy Orbison, Pretty Woman, and followed by Ariana Grande, God is a Woman, and we'll be back. And we are next talking about island independent living.
Older and wiser with Age-Friendly Island, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyisland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.
You are listening to Vectis Radio 104.6 FM and online. This is the Wednesday afternoon show, and this is the Older and Wiser segment. I'm Laura with Baby Archie, and I'm joined by Reniera. Now, we've talked about regeneration of Ryde and of Newport, and next we will be talking about island independent living. Now, what is that? What does it entail?
Ah, well, this is a really exciting new part of the regeneration programme. So, and working in conjunction with my colleagues in adult social care. So it's a different kind of housing for people in later life. So for the over 55s or over 45s who have some mental challenges, it is about a type of housing that allows you to maintain your own front door and maintain your independence for as long as is humanly possible for you,
yeah,
without having to move, but also allows you access into the right levels of care that you might need. So, for instance, yeah, you might decide that you're going to downsize from your four-bed family home and you are going to buy a two-bed bungalow or two-bed flat in a new island independent living scheme. And you will get your own front door and you'll have your own house and come and go as you please. But on site, there'll be a restaurant. So maybe one day you're feeling a little bit less like you want to cook, you can phone up and order your food and it'll come down to you. And, yeah, and obviously as people's needs change and their care requirements change and people become frailer in life, that might become a more permanent feature in their time, yeah, in their days. And people will be able to buy into the services that they need. And generally with these sorts of schemes, you have an on-site restaurant, cafe type thing. You then have probably a hairdressing room. You would have some physio rooms. And you would have 24-hour on-site warden-ish type support. So okay, if you fell over in the night, there'd be somebody there who could come and pick you up.
Yeah.
So it gives that peace of mind that I think people really look for as they move into later life. And currently on the island, we don't really have anything of this type at all.
Yeah.
And so we are very, very keen to see this kind of accommodation being developed.
Yeah, because the options for later life living, you know, care home, how expensive can that be? It's such a huge drain financially. And it's also quite a depressing thing to think of for the future. You know, trying to plan your later years. And as you're saying, if you had a little bit more independence and your own space, but you have that assistance when you need it, medically or, you know, all the services like a hairdresser, it's invaluable, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, residential care, be that nursing or just residential care, can be really, really expensive, not only to private individuals who are paying, but particularly also for the public sector. And as we are thinking more about how we need to make our resources go further, we are having to look at different options which would cost less. As yeah, it's good for us and it's good for those who might be paying for their care privately. And it's we know that people who stay independent longer in life have a more fulfilling life and live for longer. So it kind of meets all these different requirements, which will be really fantastic.
Definitely. And where are you planning to build these? Let's call them villages, would we call them?
We can call them villages. We'll call them villages. So the first one of these, called Ride Village, in Ride, has started on site and will be ready for completion in February 2020. And we will start going out to try and identify the right kind of people who might want to live there. So that is, we're looking at 12 shared ownership bungalows and 63 flats. They're all affordable. And so we're going to be working very closely with our adult social care colleagues and looking and trying to identify the right people who might be interested in moving into those as and when they come on stream. So watch out for that, and we will certainly be advertising those more widely.
Yeah.
Further to Ride, we are hopefully taking the old Sandham Middle School site. So that's opposite the new Bay C of E School, which opened as a new school today. So there's a site opposite there, which we think is absolutely ideal, not only for one of these villages, but for an intergenerational approach. So we're hoping that we might be able to fit, for example, a children's nursery on site, because all the research globally, particularly in Scandinavian countries and in Holland, will tell us that actually having older people and younger people living in close proximity and working together and interacting is good for everybody. It's good for young people and it's good for older people. So we're really looking at, you know, sort of developing something that becomes a bit market leading and puts us firmly on the map as a place that is doing some really great stuff for its people.
Yeah, we've lost those skills, haven't we? You know, I'm going to say kids of nowadays, and I don't mean to say that in a patronising way, but even myself, you know, the simple skills of how DIY, you know, or cooking to a certain extent. If you don't live with older generations, and you're not necessarily going to grow up knowing how to change that fuse in that plug. And it's so sad to see that these skills have been lost. And as you say, intergenerational living is such a positive way of both learning from old and young alike.
Oh, absolutely. And even if the sites aren't necessarily intergenerational living, having community spaces like the cafes and restaurants where families can interact in different ways, young people can come in, older people can give experience and expertise, and you can actually just start to build a shared community between different parts of the community who are potentially feeling quite isolated on their own at the moment.
Yes, there's actually a fantastic documentary around Christmas on Channel 4 where elderly in a residential care home, nursery school children came to visit them, and they did activities, and they put on a performance at the end of it, and it was really, really beautiful to see that not only did the children learn, but you know, the older people found how they gained such a buzz from the interaction. You know, you're not just institutionalized in your care home, you really are, you know, if you're isolated and you're reaching out and you're finding so much about the world from these little people, basically.
Absolutely. And I mean, I watched their programme and I thought, you know, that contributed to us wanting to do something like this. And I think even if you look at it, the other issue that we tackle, are challenged by on the island, is kind of staff retention in the care industry. And we know that we need more carers out there, and we need carers of a really high calibre and high quality. And when you start to mixed service provision for younger, older, and then looking at particularly sort of the school across the road, people have different pathways through their career. They might come in to caring through working with older people, but actually go, oh, hang on a second, childcare looks like quite a good idea because we're having these great interactions with young people. And so actually, in terms of staff retention and offering new job opportunities to people on the island as well, Island Independent Living will start to deliver on a number of different fronts.
That is fantastic. Now, what timescale are you looking at for these projects?
So Ride Village should be completed by February 2020. So we're hoping that the first people will be able to move in February, March of 2020.
Yeah.
With the Sandham Middle School site, we are hoping to go out to the market in the next month or so to identify who the delivery partner might be.
Yeah.
But we would certainly like to see that completed within the next sort of 24 months at the absolute latest.
Yeah.
And we continue to look for different sites and different ways in which we can deliver more units. We've got a commitment, the council has committed to trying to deliver 143 units of this type of accommodation a year for the next 10 years. So we've got quite a job on our hands.
You do, but what a fantastic project
to
be involved with. And how can we find out a little bit more about Island Independent Living?
So at the moment, there's not a huge amount of information about, because we really needed a scheme to be able to show what it is. So over the next 18 months, you'll see an awful lot of stuff coming out around Ryde Village and what Island Independent might look like in Ryde Village. And we've taken the lease on 30 High Street in Newport, and from October there will be a display up there around not only what we're doing in terms of regeneration across Newport and various other parts of the island, but there will be a dedicated part for Island Independent Living, so people can come and talk to us about what it means, register their interest, and can start to understand more.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all the information you've given us today. What a huge array of fantastic projects you have in the pipeline. That is we're up. Our time is up for today. We've got the lovely Jeff on next for the Tea Time Show. And next week we have another Older and Wiser segment. I'll put some more information up on the Facebook page when we know a little bit more about who our guest is for that. Have a lovely afternoon, everybody at home. This has been the Wednesday Afternoon Show with Laura and Archie and Tom. Thank you, Raniera, once again.
Thank you. For having me.
Older and Wiser with Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyireland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.